Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dodge that bullet.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Narrowly escaped receiving tens and tens of disgruntled emails sent to idea@wretched.org because we did not talk about, I mean, how ridiculous would it be to have a Christian conversation using our Bibles to at least ask the question, should women be participating in boxing and sports like rugby? But we didn't do that, so we didn't get any complaints. On that. That was a close shave. Oh, can I use the word shave? Because that maybe would be offensive to women. Oh, it's so hard to live in a pomo world. 877-282-2337. You got questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. You don't have any complaints?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
No.
Good.
All right. To the text line first. This is from Ethan. He texted in, Todd, I'm a 20-year-old and love fishing with my dad. Unfortunately,
that is sexist. That's what that is.
Unfortunately, he's an unbeliever, and he often mocks me for being a Christian, remaining very hard-hearted toward the gospel. One of the few times I see a softening in his heart is when we do father-son activities like fishing. Yeah. I always have my fishing license, but my dad refuses to get one. Am I sinning by fishing with my dad since he doesn't have a fishing license?
I don't think so. He'll get the ticket. You won't. And I'm not surprised that your dad is softened when he spends time with you. Fathers love hanging with their sons, especially as they get older. If you're young and you want to be a blessing, bless your parents. Hang out with them. Not because it's Father or Mother's Day or their birthday. Just spend time with them. They delight in that. Best present you could give them. And I'm not entirely surprised that your dad mocks you, because Jesus warned us of this, didn't he? When he was sending out the disciples, Matthew chapter 10, you got to know, family is going to divide over me. You've got to know. You will be turned over to the courts. You got to know. There will be animosity that cannot reach the heavens, but it can reach you, and it will be aimed at you. You should expect it. So I'm not happy for you that you do, but don't be discouraged that you are. And finally, I think the best Bible verse I can give to you to encourage you is, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. That isn't exactly a Bible verse, although it could be in the Message translation. But when somebody's kind of whelping a lot about Christianity, it could be because the Lord is actually working on them. So what can you do? Keep going fishing with your dad. Be a super son. Be a great daughter. Be a kid that they can't help but wonder, what is up with this kid? They used to be a monster. I've raised this kid and now they're all different. They could be feeling conviction. Perhaps the Lord is working on them, but you can be preaching the gospel to them in this instance without saying a word. No, I don't mean that in a St. Francis of Assisi kind of way. I mean that your life will undergird your testimony. Your behavior toward your parents, it will speak a very loud word to support the words that you share with them about the gospel. So don't be discouraged and keep on fishing. And keep sending things to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Timothy. Todd, the church I attend has a band that plays at the beginning and end of service. Lately, I have felt like I attend a 32-minute concert and then preaching and then a finale. The songs don't seem to be very Christian. What are your thoughts?
Well, you got to work through that. You got to ask yourself a few questions. This is for all of us. If you want to affect change in your church, you need to first of all examine your heart. Why am I feeling this way? Do I have the right motives? Am I loving my neighbor as myself in this? So after you take the log out of your eye, then you go looking at the speck and ask some questions. Is this the best we can do? Is this the most God-honoring music? Why are we doing this music? And you can ask those questions of people in leadership to understand their motivation for what you're describing. Now you've got to ask another question. Do I have the authority to say, yeah, I think we could be doing better? If you're not in a role of authority and you see something in your church that needs fixing, chances are, especially when it's something big like worship, and believe me, worship is a big deal, highly unlikely that you will affect change. Maybe you're in a church and suddenly they're going, it's like, whoa, what is she doing up there in the pulpit? Can you affect change? Well, are you a member? If you're not a member, you can't. In fact, I would even go this far. If you're not a member of a church, don't. You have no investment in that church. You say, I give money. Yep. But unless you are a member of a church, you just don't have a voice. Are you in leadership? You can affect change. Then you can start asking other questions. Do you think that they will be willing to make some changes to this? And if they do, praise God. And if they don't, could it be? Could the thin worship and the type of service that's just a ton of music up front and then the sermon and then the little pop at the end. That doesn't mean that the church is apostate. So you've got to ask questions. Is there anything heretical going on here? It might not be the best. It might not be your preference, but if it isn't heretical and you're a member of that church, I'd be slow to leave. Now, that doesn't mean you can't explore other churches, because you might discover that you're actually in more of a parched ground than you are in a flourishing field of good theology and deep Bible teaching. And it might be a discovery that's like, this would be so much better for me and for my family, and we can plug in here, and it's God exalting, and they're striving to be more godly. This is going to be, yeah, then you can consider leaving. But being agitated by worship alone, just that, that would not be a reason on paper to leave. Now, could there, as you dig, be other illuminating factors that could cause you to leave? Absolutely. Always be slow to leave a church. Doesn't mean you can't, but do it slowly. And then you can send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Nate. Todd, I take Matthew 6:18 to indicate that when we're fasting, we should keep it to ourselves. I was wondering, though, if you're married, is it okay if you tell your spouse? I'm thinking it is, probably, whereas we're in a one-flesh relationship, and also for practical purposes.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It'd make dinner time a little less awkward.
No, I don't think I'm hungry again. I'll just sit and watch you eat my favorite food. It would be pretty awkward. I think it depends on how you communicate the information. Hey, honey, just want you to know, spiritual discipline, fasting, already been at it now for 2 hours. Just doing it. Hey, I don't want to be bragging about it or nothing, but I am fat. Now, you go ahead and eat if you want to, but I'm fat. Okay. Then you're violating what Jesus was after. But if you, because of practical reasons, you live together, it would certainly be awkward. And you might even have to lie about it. Yikes. So why aren't you? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? This is why when we study Jesus' commands, you've got to think through what he's actually after. He's not after necessarily communicating somebody that you are fasting. It's bragging. That's what he's after. And if that law that you perceive to be a law that you can't communicate it to anybody would cause you to sin because you're going to have to lie to your spouse, well, then you'd have to ask, is that a really good law? Well, it's not so much a law in that you can never tell anybody that you're fasting. As more, it's about a heart issue. That's the theme of the Sermon on the Mount. Where's your heart? What's motivating this? Why are those words coming out of that place? Is it because that's what's in there? So if it's to inform them in a braggadocious kind of way, that's a problem. That's a violation of Jesus' words. If you're just communicating it to a spouse, though, to not get credit, to not look like a spiritual superstar. No problemo. 877-282-2337.
Could you say you're fasting if you don't really like what she cooked for dinner?
That's not a bad... No, you can't do that. Haven't you got that worked out yet?
No, I like what my wife cooks for dinner.
Everything?
Well, you know, sometimes you just have to take one for the team.
Remember
that's
my
marriage.
My phrase that has spared me so many frustrations, it's just a meal. And what do you want? You want to make that, dear? In my heart, probably don't want to say it out loud or send it to her in a text. Hey, do you want... You lasagna. I love my wife's lasagna, but so therefore I'll use lasagna. So, do you want lasagna? Well, it's just a meal. That probably not a great thing to communicate, but that could be the position of your heart that you put others before yourself. This is why marriage is a school of character. You're going to eat some foods you're not a fan of. The fridge might have some things inside of it that you're not nuts about. It's just a meal. And what does that do for you as you adopt that attitude? It grows you in things like, you know, patience, kindness, long suffering. If your wife doesn't make lasagna as good as mine, I think I've covered my bases here. This is Wretched Radio. Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini Master Seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Well, if you're looking for a way to enhance your spiritual growth, let me point you in the direction of our video resources and MP3s that are available in the Wretched store at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Video series like Transformed and Road Trip to Truth, Terrified 2, and others offer visual and engaging ways to understand and apply biblical principles. And for those who prefer audio while you're driving to and from work, we have collections that cover a range of topics from theology to practical Christian living, and we make learning easy on the go. These resources are perfect for your personal spiritual growth. You can also use them in group studies or in church. Each product is designed to be both doctrinally sound and practically applicable. So just visit the Wretched store right now at wretched.org, browse our video and audio resources, and equip yourself with tools you need to help you navigate this brave new world we're living in. You can shop right now at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple. The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And another thing, this is Wretched Radio. As long as you're at your computer sending wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org, register. If you happen to be in Atlanta, August 16, 17, 10 mini lectures from Dr. John Krotz on biblical manhood, bring your sons. They will benefit, and it is absolutely free. We're filming it for a resource, so if you are wanted in any of the 50 United States, probably not a good idea. Otherwise, register at wretched.org/gentlemen. Then send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one is a text from Peter. Todd, you've made your point that AI can write a top 40 worship song, but here's the real test. Can it write a traditional hymn with a pipe organ?
Well, that was redundant. Traditional hymns, pipe organ, just synonymous. They have to go together. I mean, if you want the hymn to be stellar, pipe organ is God's only ordained instrumentation of choice. Don't ask me what verse that is. It is in there. They probably can.
Oh, they can.
You already got on it, didn't
you? Oh, yeah. Challenge accepted.
Right. Is it in my file?
It is. It's called Heavenly Grace.
Heavenly Grace.
And the lyrics are there as well.
Oh, you really did prepare. All right, here we go. AI, traditional hymn with pipe organ. I just feel like my blood pressure came down. It's a miracle worker, the pipe organ. Okay, what happened to the choir? Are they drunk? Can't understand a word they're saying here. Yes. Our hearts are far from grace.
Yeah.
I caught that. The rest was like mush.
That's why I gave you the lyrics.
You know what? That choir could be a national politician these days. All right, you got the lyric? All right, I got them. All right, here we go. Here's the lyrics. In shadows deep, we wandered lost. Okay. That's work right there. That's setting yourself up for a rhyme with a lot of twisting. Our hearts so far from grace, yet in the darkness light appeared. Christ came to save our race. Okay, it's okay. Verse number two. No definite article. On rugged cross, the price was paid, a sacrifice divine. With scar, hold on, organ solo. On rugged cross, the price was paid, a sacrifice divine. With scarred hands, he lifted up to call his love our sign. What happened there?
I don't have any idea.
What does that even mean? Called his love our sign? Chorus. Christ our Savior, Christ our King. For us his life he gave. We sing his name in endless praise. His mercy makes us brave. But it sounds like it is something divine, though, doesn't it?
It does. That's why... That's why you can't understand it.
Fallen world, he came to heal with tender love and care. Our broken souls, he did restore. In him, we find repair. Wow. That's, okay, the poetry. Hey, Jimmy, I got one for you.
Okay.
Well, use the AI machine. I want to know if it can write a joke. Ask it something. You know how to do the AI stuff because that's how you write your sermons. So just ask it to write like a 2-minute stand-up comedy routine. Like Jimmy Hicks would deliver, because they know who you are.
No, don't.
On the subject of raising children and why spanking is actually quite funny. Something like that.
Okay.
Because I was talking about this with Mrs. Friel. AI, definitely, as we just heard, has limitations. See, you know what? That just proves my point. AI can write a contemporary worship song, no problem. The rhymes are stinky, but that's on par. The theology, non-existent or even wrong. But it can't write a traditional hymn with a pipe organ, to my point. Jimmy, let's see if it can actually concoct humor. Because I thought, well, can it write a joke? Does it understand? I mean, I know it can go, what AI can do is go, it like has access to every single comedian on the planet. And by the way, did you see, it was one of those shorts, YouTube shorts, George Carlin. He was talking about wokeness and, you know, the politically correct language. It had to have been at least 20 years, 30 years old. And he was adamantly opposed to all of it. Kind of fascinating. Comedy, humor, that's a human sort of thing because, by the way, it is divine. That you've got to, it has to have twists and turns, and it needs to be surprising, and it needs to be yet grounded somewhat to reality. It ain't easy. So let's see if AI can actually do it. In the meantime, did you get it in there already?
It's ready.
You're choking me.
I'm not understanding how this is in my voice, but let's go with that.
All right, where is it? What's it under?
Okay. Let me.
Yeah, put it in my file.
Oh, you want to read for me? Okay.
Read it. I want to hear it.
Oh, I can't do an audio thing.
Why not?
Because all I can do is music.
Oh.
Yeah, song. It just makes songs.
Okay. All right. So give me. Okay. No, you read it then. Give us the stand-up. And now, ladies and gentlemen, hot off a tour of the West Coast, he performs in Funny Ticklers, and he's in Hoo Hoo Ha Ha Comedy Club, and he just appeared on the Stephen Colbert Show. Please welcome Christian Jimmy Hicks.
How's everyone doing tonight?
There you go.
Hey, you've got to start with that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tip your waitress. Try the veal.
Yeah, yeah. I see you tired parents out there. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand if you've ever considered selling them on eBay. Yeah, I see you in the back. Don't worry. It's a safe place. It's a safe space. You know, parenting, it's wild. You start with this tiny human who can't do anything for themselves. And you think, oh, they're so precious. But you fast forward a couple of years and you're hiding in the bathroom eating a chocolate bar just so you don't have to share. Let's talk about discipline, though. Are you asleep, Todd? Huh? I'm just reading what was written for me.
Waitron. I'll take you up on that 2-drink minimum thing. Might get funny.
Hold on. We're talking about discipline now. You know, everyone's got their methods. Everyone has opinions, but timeouts, grounding, taking away the Wi-Fi. But let's be real. Sometimes nothing is quite like beating the brakes off your children.
Beating the brakes?
Yeah, that's right. Now, before anyone...
Did they also write a hymn with pipe organ?
They did.
Okay.
Now, before everyone gets upset, relax. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about the classic. I'm going to tap your behind so you remember not to stick a fork in the electrical socket. I don't know how that correlates with beating the brakes off, but anyway, remember our parents didn't have all these fancy books on positive reinforcement. Are you okay? You reading your Bible?
No, sorry. I'm just reading the Gospel Heritage of Georgia Baptist between 1772 and 1830.
Yeah, same.
It was actually funnier than what you were doing. It was actually a really interesting book. Brandon Smith and Kurt Smith. That's either providential or they're related. It's interesting. Tom Askell and... I think I'm going to be doing a conference with Tom Askell next year in Florida. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson endorsed the book. It gives the heritage of Georgia Baptists, the theology of the Georgia Baptists. It would probably surprise a lot of Southern Baptists. So AI, it ain't taken over him writing and the comedy world.
No.
Whew. idea@wretched.org.
Todd, what are your thoughts on dating apps? That's from Timothy.
A huge... I'm an enthusiastic supporter of the right dating app. I don't know where you're at with your thinking about dating apps. I remember initially I was probably in the chorus without a pipe organ that was like, oh, dating app. Yeah, that. But I got introduced. I remember meeting Neil Clark Warren. He's the fellow who concocted eHarmony, which, by the way, I think is... doing all kinds of marriage arrangements now, disappointingly. Nevertheless, I thought, well, that's kind of smart. It was something like 39 areas of compatibility. And you take this exam and you rate the things that you are and what's really important to you. And then they just do it with a computer and they match you up with somebody. And the success rate is startlingly high. And so I kind of lost a little bit of my heckler attitude toward dating apps. And then when I started hearing more and more from men and women who can't find somebody in their the church is nobody. Or I went to a Bible study on them and there just isn't, and there's no God, and there's no God. Well, you got to just get, what you need is a dragnet. The net that the fishermen were using when Jesus called, smaller, a dragnet, as in the parable in Matthew 13, it would have floaters on the top and weights on the bottom. You drag it together, a huge amount of fish. That's what a dating app is. And just like the parable, some of the fish you throw back. Okay, I probably took that too far. The point is, you kind of need it these days. Get a good one. You sort that. Make sure that you find Christian dating, or at least the Christian category, so that that could be your number one priority. Be wise about them, just like anything else. It's a shame some of our old social structures, like family and church, are no longer as in place as they were. But if a dating app helps you find a godly spouse, I say app on. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, South Carolina's Supreme Court has upheld the firing squad as a method of capital punishment, joining lethal injection and the electric chair as options. And while some people may be wringing their hands over it, let's remember that swift and certain justice serves a deterrent to violent criminals. The state hasn't executed anyone since 2011 due to drug shortages, but this ruling could change that, ensuring justice is carried out for victims and their families. In Washington, the Biden-Harris administration seems more focused on social engineering than national security, pouring millions of dollars into diversity consultants for our military, including over $200,000 to Cornell University for DEI training. Now, you call me old-fashioned, but I thought our armed forces were about defending the nation, not fostering inclusive environments. And speaking of misplaced priorities, an FDA email obtained by the Daily Signal reveals they recommended puberty blockers for minors despite noting increased risks of depression and thoughts of suicide. A government agency prioritizing ideology over the well-being of children. That's the world we're living in right now. Parents, got to stay vigilant and informed of what is being pushed on your children when you're not there. Across the pond, the BBC is under fire from over 200 Jewish staffers and contributors alleging anti-Semitism in its reporting. And the network's dismissive response is concerning, to say the least. Lastly, a Christian family camping in Florida found themselves targeted by false child abuse reports, allegedly orchestrated by an anti-Christian Reddit group. Thankfully, the office of the governor, Governor DeSantis, promised to investigate, stating that such harassment is unacceptable in the state of Florida. At least we have one leader willing to stand up for religious liberty and against an online mob mentality. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, side still hurting. Nevertheless, receiving your email sent to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
I'm better at the
side splitting.
I'm better at the dad jokes.
Knees. Oh, you got one for me?
I don't. No, I'll save you.
I'm sorry. Where's my Jimmy Hicks? If you don't have a dad joke we're doing the mailbag, this ain't working.
This ain't working. I don't have
you. One. You know what? Ask me a question. Okay. It'll buy you about 2 minutes to find a lame dad joke, but that would be redundant, and we don't have time for redundancy. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Anonymous, a text that came in. Todd, what are your thoughts on if Christians have the right to self-defense?
Like, can we?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course we do. Turning the other cheek means if you're insulted, receive it, just take it. Getting attacked by somebody, that's not turning the other cheek. That's allowing yourself to get mauled. We can protect ourselves. We can protect our families. So self-defense, you want to take karate, jujitsu, whatever it is that you perhaps are into for the sake of self-defense, not for unnecessarily harming people, but to defend yourself, rock on. And if you're talking about guns, hold on, Jimmy, just wait. I got it. Ah, my right ankle is scratching a little bit. You know, that strap sometimes can, I don't want to tip my hand where I'm at with this thing, but of course you can carry firearms. Just be wise. Learn how to use them. Understand what they're for. Don't get all cowboy-like where it's like, hey, I think I just heard a sound. Bang, bang. Make sure you're wise about it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if, by the way, you need a gun, you need to go to a church in Lenexa, Kansas. Not a sin for a church to give away firepower. Not sure it was a really great idea. This is from KSHB.com. Lenexa Church, air quotes, blesses, well, it's actually a quotation, blesses congregation members with firearms. Father's Day, they gave away an AR-15, posting photos of it as the raffle winner online. Then to celebrate the 4th of July, they gave away 3 more guns. Okay, a church can do that. I hope it wasn't a part of their worship service. And it might not be, in our current cultural context, the wisest thing for a church to be doing something like that so publicly, but it ain't a sin. You can carry if you are a Christian. Just be wise. All right, Jimmy, what are you looking up? I can't even remember. What are you looking up?
You wanted a dad joke.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, how could I forget?
So what do you get when you cross a four-leaf clover with poison ivy?
Hold on. I'm trying to mash the words together is where I'm starting. Poison ivy, four-leaf clover. Like ivy clover. It's going to be something like where it's a word mash.
No,
what is it?
It's not. It's a rash of good luck.
Please.
Oh, that was so funny.
Please send anything. Help me to idea@wretched.org.
All right. This is from Sean. Todd, I do various forms of craft work, and I like to use Christian imagery in my work. Lately, I've been wondering, though, could the use of symbols like lions and lambs and shamrocks and Trinity knots, could that be breaking the second commandment and be considered golden calves?
Only if you're worshiping them. It's a heart issue. I know that there are some dear believers who hold a contrary opinion about the second commandment, but at making a graven image, it's making something that you worship. It's replacing God with that and giving your affections to it. That, of course, is a big no-no. Making a picture of a lamb that represents Jesus or the line of Judah, personally, as long as you're not worshiping it, I don't have an issue with it. Of course, if it troubles your conscience, then you got to... What was it?
It was a lot of different things. Yeah.
No. What was the macrame? What were they? How are they making the deal?
Oh, he just says craft work.
Okay. Whatever the craft work is, put it down until it's not something that troubles your conscience. 1-877-282-2337 for texting questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
And we have a text that came in from Anonymous that is kind of on the same, it is on the same wavelength as that. Todd, if we're commanded to not make any images of God, I would presume that includes Jesus, then why are Christians so upset about the mockery of the painting that depicts Jesus at the Last Supper? Wouldn't the painting itself be a violation?
Sure. Yep, it would. So you'd have to do a poll of each and every Christian to see if they're being consistent. Yeah, icons are a big deal. Historically, these issues were debated a lot during the Reformation. Some of these glorious European cathedrals, they were Roman Catholic. They fell underneath Protestant control. And there were people who believed that any image was a violation of the Second Commandment. So they shattered all of that glass and just put in clear glass, because they didn't want to be breaking a commandment. They didn't want to have the sin of idolatry credited to their account. So iconoclasm is a big issue, and we would do well to study. It's good to go back and just see how these guys thought. They are not infallible, but they sure did think a lot about these things, which is why I would invite you, if you're not going to be doing anything, and you want to go to Fargo, North Dakota, August 12th, 13th, 14th, 3535 conference, it's going to be 2.5 days lectures on how the church thought through church, how the church wrestled with these issues. Really smart guys that really put a lot of time into it. You will profit much. 3535 conference. 877-282-2337.
So we've talked a lot about comedy. Why do you think Samson was the best comedian in the Bible?
Oh, he brought the house down.
You've seen it.
Who makes Samson's coffee?
He brews it.
Is there anything worse than dad jokes? Yeah, Christian dad jokes. Right. Bible dad jokes. 877-282-2337.
All right, Todd, what is sinful anxiety? Never heard of it. Why would being anxious be a sin?
If you'd like to read deeply on this subject, I would perhaps point your attention to a book called Stressed Out by one Todd Frielius, deals with this very issue. Every emotion is either okay or not okay. Every single emotion can have a good or bad manifestation. So what is the difference between anxiety and sinful anxiety? Jesus helps us with that. In John chapter 14, the disciples were probably biting their nails a little bit. We knew that they were trying to kill him. He's talking about it more and more. And this is clearly a very special night. What's going to happen to the kingdom when the king is assassinated? They had questions. And Jesus comforted them by giving them the answer to their sinful anxiety in John chapter 14, 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. And then here it comes. Believe in God. Believe also in me. They almost seem like they should have an equal sign with a line through it. Wait, don't be troubled. Believe in me. What's the connection here? Sinful anxiety is faithless worrying. Sinful anxiety is faithless worrying. It is not trusting God in the moment. It is taking the issues or the situation into your own hands. It's relying on you, your wit, your skills, your credit card to get her done, and you're not trusting God, and so you fret, and you, this is going to be the end. What's going to happen if this happens, and then that happens, and it's sinful anxiety. And incidentally, I love this about the Gospel of Matthew, how he just weaves through so many different fabrics, so many different threads in the tapestry that presents the image of Jesus Christ. One of them is this very subject. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, Don't let your heart be troubled. Quit worrying. Look at the sparrows. Look at the lilies. Stop being anxious, oh, you of little faith. There it is. And then what does he do? He gives examples of that. Peter freaking out while he's walking on water. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. He was trusting his ability to walk on water. He wasn't trusting Jesus in the moment. He was a faithless worrier because he had little faith. The disciples, how are we going to feed these people? Jesus has to remind them, oh, you of little faith, just did that. You're not remembering. That's how you grow in your faith. There's the connection. If you're anxious, sinfully anxious, worrying about so much because you're taking it into your own hands, you've got a little faith in the moment. You're believing in a little God yourself. Or you just have a small amount of faith in God. Either way, you need to take your eyes off of yourself, put your eyes on Jesus, see how powerful he is, see how good he is, see how able he is, see how faithful he is, see how much he cares for you. And your knowledge of him will increase, which will grow your faith, which will push out sinful anxiety. If you're anxious, it's a worship disorder. You're not trusting. You're not worshiping God in the moment. It is a faith issue for you. And if you're perpetually anxious, this is not take a Bible verse and call me in the morning, but it is an encouragement to stare at Jesus with unveiled face. You'll be transformed from one level of glory unto another. And Jesus was never sinfully anxious. And you could pick up stressedout@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio.
We all know life is tough sometimes, right? We all deal with stuff, stress, worry, depression. It's just a part of being human. But what if there was a way to look at these struggles differently? Well, that's what Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford is all about. It's not your usual radio show. No, Dr. Gifford talks about real issues, you know, the kind we all face. And he doesn't just talk about them, he brings biblical clarity to them. So whether you're dealing with anxiety or feelings of loneliness, or you're just trying to figure things out, I highly recommend Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not about quick fixes or empty promises. It's just honest talk about life and how to navigate it biblically. If you're curious, why not give it a try? Give it a listen right now. New episodes come out every Saturday morning. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts or transform.org/podcast. Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. From brokenness to wholeness.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press. We'll keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. And if you're feeling a bit spiritually lost, Pastor John Krotz has you covered with more degrees than a thermometer and wisdom that'll set your soul on fire. And for the Gen Z men out there wondering if there's more to life than TikTok, say hello to Dr. Adam Tyson. And if you have marriage and parenting woes, Pastor Brad Bigney's wisdom will help you navigate those tricky waters. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is El Roi, the God who sees. God is ultimately aware and concerned for us. Nothing escapes his vision. For the unsaved, this is a great terror. But for those who are in Christ, this is a great comfort. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, no. If great minds think alike, this is Wretched Radio. During the break, I said, oh, Jimmy, why don't you put into the AI machine a request to write some Christian dad jokes? And you said,
I've already done that.
Yeah, okay, then. Anything good?
No, these are not funny at all.
Well, who are you to judge? You think the other ones are funny.
Wait, those are hilarious. Those are mine.
Okay, hit me. Give me an AI Christian dad joke.
Why did Noah never go fishing?
I don't know.
Because he...
Apparently they are funny.
This one's kind of funny.
Okay.
Because he only had 2 worms. That one was funny.
Yeah, all right. Oh, my knee. I'm slapping it.
Why didn't they play cards on the ark?
Something about a deck.
Because Noah was always standing on the deck.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
That wasn't funny.
Yeah. How many did it crank out for you?
10.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I'll bet it could write a ton more.
Oh, I bet it could,
if
too.
You asked it to. It's absolutely amazing how fast it can be. But as we have learned, it hasn't replaced humans yet. Is it a threat that people are going to lose jobs? I think it's certain. If we aren't already seeing that, we're going to be seeing a shift in the workplace economy, because AI is going to be taking some human jobs. And that means it should be an advancement that we talk about a little more than we are. We can't just assume, hey, we've made some progress in technology. Gulp, gulp. We just swallow it without considering, is it possible that maybe inside of those dainties, there's a little poison? Because humans should come before technological advancements. Which is why Dr. Andrew Walker is going to be helping us when he joins us as a fellow in the fall, talking about Christian ethics. He is going to help us deal with some of these very current complex issues. He's a part of our new launch. We've got 8 new guys who are joining us here at the ministry. Cannot wait to share all of the details with you. Dr. John Krotz, he's going to be in studio, one of our fellows. Wretched.org/gentlemen if you want to be a part of that filming. It should be outstanding. Can't wait to tell you everything that we're going to be doing in the fall. That's a teaser. In the meantime, send stuff. No Christian dad jokes. Please don't feed the beast. Idea at wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
This is from Judith. Todd, I'm a Christian teacher in a public school. Recently, I've been feeling quite pressured to join the teachers union. My question is, should Christians join unions?
It depends on the union. It depends on 2 things about the union: their goal and their modus operandi. How do they get the job done? How do they achieve their goals? I think it needs to be both of those issues that needs to be considered. If there's thuggery, if there's a terrible narrative of victimhood, if it's greedy, if it's intimidating in any way, then no, you shouldn't be a part of that. And what are the goals? What are they seeking to do? And if you check the boxes and go, you know what, the goals are decent and it seems like the people are doing it, then sign up for the union. So I don't, without a Bible verse that says you can or can't join a union, you need to ask questions about wisdom and liberty. And I think that the 2 big ones are, what are the goals and how do they get there? And if you think it passes muster, then sign up. Idea at Wretched. Jimmy, were you ever in a union?
No.
No?
No.
All right. Just thought maybe you would.
I'm going to start one.
That would be great. The Wretched Union.
We don't have a
name. That doesn't sound right, does it?
No.
877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Jocelyn. Todd, my husband and I have been discussing how busy is too busy and what the Bible says about it. We're both involved in quite a bit. I organize a homeschool co-op of my moms, teach homeschool, teach Wednesday evenings church, our kids at church, sing with the worship team, wow, manage the church nursery schedule.
This is one woman doing all of this?
Yeah. And additionally, my husband has significant roles at the church and church camp. Is sacrificing in these ways part of the Christian life, or could it be that God doesn't necessarily want us to take on so much?
There are a few times when I would pound my fist, but this would be one of them. You 2 people, you need to join Alpharetta Bible Church. It is as simple as that. Next!
That's it.
Guys, wouldn't you love to have people like that at your church? Every church does have those people, by the way, that really pour it out. I think you need to consider priorities, and then as husband and wife, sit down and talk through whether or not your priorities and your time management match. What are the priorities for a couple? Well, obviously, the Lord comes first. Second, it's your marriage. Third, it's your kids. Then it's your local church. Then it's your city, your state, your nation, the globe. And God doesn't have hard and fast rules on this. He allows us to make these decisions based on gifting. I'm thinking about the parable of the 4 soils. I don't think it's the parable of the sower because it's not focusing on the sower, which is really just anybody who shares the good news. It's about the soil. The first 3 soils don't receive the word. It's the 4th soil that has been tilled up by what? The law that receives the word implanted. And it bears what? Jesus said 30, 60, 100. Those harvests for Israeli soil, all good. And I think there's a lesson to be learned there. Every Christian has different gifting. Every Christian has different time. Every Christian has different responsibilities. And we need to allow different Christians to apply those categories to what they do, even in the local church. And we need to not be jealous of those who produce more, nor should we be condescending of those who produce less. If you produce 30, that's between you and the Lord. You produce 100, that's between you and the Lord. You could be doing it for the wrong reasons, by the way. You could be doing it for vainglory, and then, of course, none of it counts for you. And so we need to allow liberty for different believers with different dynamics and situations to give their time in different ways. The call is for faithfulness and meeting your responsibilities. So if you're working at church all the time, but your marriage is suffering, that's easy. Stop doing so much at the church. Go to work on that priority. Your kids, they're rascals. Even as you go about the business of running the kids' ministry, you got to cut back and take care of that priority. And we give grace to one another. We allow liberty for one another. We can come alongside and maybe sometimes question one another, because that's what the one another's are about. And then we let people produce 30, 60, and 100. It is up to the individual. And speaking of the one another's, Greg Gifford from Transformed, he preached at Alpharetta Bible Church. .org. Talking about the one another's, he made a statement, this is convicting. He's a biblical counselor. He teaches biblical counseling at the Master's University, undergrad, graduate, and doctoral programs in biblical counseling. Yep, the field is that robust. And he said biblical counseling in the context of a church should be the last line of defense. Biblical counseling shouldn't be the office down the hall that handles all of the difficult dynamics, the conflicts inside of a church, people who are having sin struggles, there are relational issues, there are marital problems. The first stop should not be the biblical counseling office. Well, you say then, where do I go? To one another. We go to one another. You get counseling from one another. And should you not be able to find everything that you need, or it just demands really focused attention, yep, then biblical counseling. And that should convict us. It's not that biblical counseling is deficient. It's just that it's not the first line of defense. We are with one another, exhorting, encouraging, loving, rebuking, serving, giving to one another. And that includes counseling one another. That is something that a church needs to try to foster, because if there isn't an effort made, if you don't plant those seeds, you won't have any harvest at all. 877-282-2337.
And this is from Mel. Todd, close friends of mine would like to join our church, becoming members, but they disagree in some key doctrines such as complementarianism and credo baptism. Should a church require that a potential member agree on all doctrines the church holds, or is being a committed, submitted follower of Christ enough?
I think a church has liberty to do whatever they think, because I know some churches that are all of those different variants regarding adherence to a doctrinal statement. So I don't think that anybody can definitively state this is the way all churches need to be. I would say, though, that regarding those two issues, complementarianism and credo baptism, they are not essential doctrines, which means those people, they're going to heaven, we're going to heaven, see you there, where you're going to understand that sprinkling water on a baby doesn't do anything but make them wet. The point is practicality. What is that? So if somebody comes and they don't believe in complementarianism, how long is it going to be before they start pushing for a woman teaching a man, preaching, usurping authority? What's going to happen when they have children? Pastor, will you baptize? No, we're credo Baptist, but we're paedo Baptist. It's just it's a practicality issue. Or every time, if you're a paedo Baptist and you're in a credo Baptist church, you're going to be agitated. They don't, and vice versa. If you're a Baptist in a Presbyterian church, it doesn't mean we don't have fellowship. It just means there's some issues that are practical that make it difficult. My encouragement with this particular dynamic is find the church that best fits you in every possible way. And should it be that a Baptist has to go to a Presbyterian church or vice versa because that's the best there is, then join. Just don't make any problems. That's the rule. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.